Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. I am Tiffany Howard, and I am a research professional for the Workplace Health Group at the University of Georgia, as was mentioned. And more specifically, I do serve as a health coach for a weight loss program that I'm going to present on today. And specifically, I'd like to share the influence that group engagement has on participant outcomes in the worksite translation of DPP, or Fuel Your Life. And I would like to take a second to acknowledge my co-authors and colleagues, and a couple of them are here. Heather, who's going to be presenting next, she's our lead health coach. Heather Padilla, our project coordinator, and then our two principal investigators, Dr. Mark Wilson, who's also in the audience with us, and Dr. Dave DeJoy. I have no relationships to disclose. So to provide some background on the Fuel Your Life program, it is an NIH-funded research project aimed to improve the health of employees by promoting healthy eating and increased physical activity. All participants do receive a self-guided study manual, which we actually have with us here today. And this just provides some information and tools for participants to use along the way in changing their behaviors and losing weight over a six-month intervention period. Participants also are given goals pertaining to weight loss, nutrition, and physical activity. And our three study sites are within the state of Georgia. We have Columbus Consolidated Government, Athens-Clarke County, and Macon-Bibb County. We deliver Fuel Your Life in three ways. Our participants in Columbus received a manual only. They were considered our control group. While those of Athens and Macon also received 8 sessions facilitated by a trained health coach. And the first 4 sessions occur every week, and then the second 4 do spread out to once a month, so 8 sessions occurring over the 6-month intervention period. In Athens, our participants did meet in small groups, and those of Macon completed one-on-one phone sessions. So since this presentation does focus on the group treatment, I wanted to share a little bit about why we even chose to utilize groups as one of them. So first, it is efficient and cost-effective. We're reaching several people at once. It's also convenient for the participants because as the health coaches, we're coming to them, and the group sessions did take place in either their place of work or a nearby location, and was also on work time. And finally, being in a group setting can really foster support while we're making these lifestyle changes. We can learn from one another, problem solve together, help hold each other accountable, which is very important. So the social aspects are invaluable. And then why measure engagement? There really is no clear, consistent definition, so looking further into engagement can just help us further define it, hopefully. And although there have been numerous successful DPP translations, few to none have examined outcomes as a function of group-level engagement. So we're going to use some process evaluation data to explore the effects of engagement. So let's look at our group treatment participants. Among 2 waves of recruitment, we had about 170 participants. And we are about halfway through our 3rd wave also. So this presentation will focus on our first 2 cohorts. We had 24 groups with about 5 to 9 participants in each. And some were department specific, while others were mixed groups. And then just some demographics. Average age about 45, about half female, about half white, and about 23% African American. And here is the structure of a group session. So they did last about 50 minutes to 1 hour. And looking at this from left to right, participants started by individually sharing feedback. And we then went through 2 lessons of the manual, of the self-guided manual. at each group session just to reinforce the content. Then participants had the opportunity to partner up and complete an activity. And this was important in just offering that one-on-one peer time. And for some participants, just made them feel a little bit more comfortable than sharing to several people at once. Everyone did develop an action plan, which is just a specific roadmap to a goal that they had. And then before leaving the session, everyone would complete and submit a progress report. And that's what I would like to talk about next. This is our progress report. And as you can see, we have several questions that just pertain to the different program components. So self-monitoring, weighing themselves, reading those lessons in their manual, completing their action plan from the last session. So this data is, of course, self-reported, but does reflect the work that participants are putting into the program outside of the group sessions. So this was a good way to capture that, and was a great way for us to hold participants accountable of those program components. And the data from those progress reports helps the health coaches rate each individual participant's engagement level. So let's talk a little bit more about how we did define engagement. So not only did we take into account progress report information, but also just the observation that health coaches had during the group session. For example, was the participant actually contributing to discussion, or were they just there? Were they providing suggestions? Were they helping one another problem solve? And based on some of this information, we did give each participant a low or one, medium or two, or high engagement level at the end. And anyone who did not attend a session received a zero. They were considered a no-show. So we did take into account these no-shows when analyzing this information, because attendance really is a significant factor in determining the engagement of someone. If you miss a session, you're not engaged for that one session. And when people are missing from the group, we did observe that it really does affect the group dynamics. So to give you a better example of these levels or these ratings, this is a progress report that was completed by a participant in our first wave of the program. And this was, I believe, at session 5. So again, we had the 8 sessions. This was about in the middle of that phase. So based on the self-report data here, purely, this participant would have received a medium engagement, but based on the notes from the health coach that was facilitating this group session, this participant was very much involved in the session and was heavily contributing to our discussion. So based on all of that information combined, we did give this participant a high engagement rating. And then an example of kind of the other extreme, a low engagement. So clearly, this participant was not doing much outside of the group sessions. We appreciate the honesty. It's important to be honest. And again, considering the health coach's notes or observations during the group session, this participant did receive a low engagement. They were there, but they really weren't contributing to discussion either. So to continue a little bit talking about how to define engagement, let's take it to the next level and talk about the group level. So in order to determine the overall engagement of a group, we took the average of each group's total participant engagement over all 8 sessions. We had 2 categories, moderately to highly engaged groups, and those are groups that did average at least a 2 overall, and we had 9 groups there, and our poorly engaged groups that scored below a 2, and we had 15 groups. So let's look at how this all plays out. Look at the bigger picture. So over time, as this graph represents, group engagement did decline. And this is broken down by the 8 group sessions, and this takes into account all 24 groups from the 2 waves, or the 2 cohorts. So over the 6-month intervention period, we had a high score of about 2.3 and then the lowest of 1.3. And those first 4 sessions, as I said at the beginning, do occur more frequently. So they're every other week. And 5 through 8 do occur a little more spread out, once a month. So this certainly could have contributed to those higher numbers at the beginning, and then they kind of start to level out and decrease a little further. Now, one reason for that little jump at the end, as you can see between sessions 7 and 8, we have a little jump, 1.3 to 1.5, and it seemed that people may have been making that final push towards their weight loss goal, as a couple of weeks after that 8th session, they would have a weigh-in. So it seemed like we had a little bit better attendance and people just working a little bit harder during those last couple. Now, to break it down further, this just represents the 2 categories of groups. So we have the moderately to highly engaged, the red bar at the top, and then our poorly engaged groups below. And there is a more drastic decline for those poorly engaged groups, as you can see, moving from about 2 to 1. And you'll also notice that that group actually begins where the moderately to highly engaged groups end. So the lowest score for that top bar is about the highest score for the poorly engaged groups, if that makes sense. So we thought that was really interesting, too. And it seemed that our more engaged groups stayed more engaged throughout those 8 sessions as well. But again, it is the same overall trend of a decline with that slight jump at the end as we saw in the previous graph. So let's look at how engagement actually impacts outcomes, in this case, weight loss. So engaged groups did lose more weight. The groups that were more engaged lost a greater percentage of their body weight at an average of about 2.7% over the 8 sessions, while the poorly engaged groups actually gained an average of about 0.5%. So we wanted to dig a little bit deeper to see what else we could learn about these 2 categories of groups, because obviously this is some significant information. So we looked at session attendance and retention among the groups as well. You'll notice that our blue bars, which represents the more engaged groups, they did attend almost every session, about 7 out of 8, and also held on to more of their group members throughout the intervention period, while those not so engaged came to a little over 0.5 the sessions on average and did not retain as many group members. So looking even further, what else do we know about these engaged groups? What characteristics do they share? Well, first, they're made up of obviously more engaged participants that not only attend the sessions, but they do actively participate during them. These are the participants who are also doing work outside of their sessions. And as a result, they just have more to contribute to the group discussion. So they're more... they seem to be a little bit more invested in the program and continue coming to the group sessions. We also learned that the makeup of the groups was important. All 9 groups, all 9 of the moderately to highly engaged groups had a supervisor, or what we like to call just a cheerleader or champion of the department, that were involved. And it almost seemed like these participants felt more validated in their participation. Someone that they looked up to or someone that was just enthusiastic about the program was also involved, so that seemed to help encourage other participants to not only sign up, but to really stay actively involved. We did have, kind of as an exception, 1 group where there was supervisor involvement, and unfortunately, it was almost more coerced, and we noticed, interestingly enough, that that group, we saw kind of the opposite trend, even though they did have the supervisor involved who was very enthusiastic about the program. Only that one participant and another kind of co-supervisor ended up doing well and reaching their weight loss goals. So there always seems to be an exception. And then finally, 7 of the 9 moderately to highly engaged groups were department specific. So we think they may have been more successful because these group members, they worked together. They already knew one another and were comfortable with one another. And from a health coach observation, these groups were kind of like teams. It was interesting. They just seemed to mesh well together. And in the end, ended up positively impacting the outcomes and helped them to reach their goals. So if we can think about how to maximize group engagement, we can hopefully apply some of these things to future similar interventions. So kind of lessons learned here. When you can arrange the groups by department, do so. Like I said, people who already work together in the workplace, they seem to work better together in a lifestyle intervention program. Encourage those points of contact, those supervisors, those cheerleaders to also participate. And then finally, do your best to keep individual group members engaged. And a lot of this does fall on the person facilitating the group, and in our case, those were the health coaches. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about individual engagement in the group setting. And just a couple of, again, lessons learned here. From the very beginning of these group sessions, we did enforce rules regarding confidentiality. So setting these ground rules right at the beginning kind of sets an expectation that participants can feel comfortable. They can share personal information and know that it's going to stay within the group. And this does come more naturally as you get to know participants as well after the first couple of sessions. Again, facilitate group discussion and collaboration, and make discussion relevant to every participant. And I would say that's kind of the hardest until you start to build a relationship with those participants. So although the group setting may not be appropriate for everyone, it did seem to work for some. So I would like to share with you just the following thoughts that participants had. And these were a few participants who completed the entire program. So one participant shared that the group support and discussions were what they liked most about the Fuel Your Life program, and that they did offer a lot of insight. Someone else shared that they were very motivated in the group setting, and that their peers and health coach in the discussion group helped them to be successful. So I really feel that this feedback captures value in having group sessions. And in conclusion, when individual participants and groups as a whole are engaged, they are more successful. And, you know, that's what we've seen so far. Of course, we still have one more wave or cohort to finish up with, but we hope that this will hold true as well. Group composition does matter. Meeting more often may be necessary. So I touched on this at the very beginning, but, you know, we did see that sharper decline in the last 4 sessions of the program. So perhaps spreading out those group sessions to once a month could be a little detrimental when it comes to holding the engagement of the participants or keeping the engagement there. And 6 months is a long time to stay fully engaged. You know, the 6-month intervention period could just be a little bit too long for some people to stay fully interested. So perhaps a shorter period would be more appropriate for such a program. My last slide doesn't want to show up. We may have had a freeze here, but well, that concludes my presentation. Sorry, my contact information is on the last slide, but yeah, we may have had a freeze up because nothing's happening. Yeah, I'm trying to stay. Thank you.